Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Thank you, Lord, because you're here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap today. Praise the Lord. You're good, God. You're a good God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In Psalms 107, 1 and 2 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. It's a beautiful presence of God. While they were singing that song, it was just amazing. God is so good. Sometimes you just don't have any words just to soak it in. Amen. Well, today we have three parts, and it's going to be very, very good. Why? Because these people have not taken part in this church. And sometimes it's good to do random things like that. However, these people already knew ahead of time. We let them know that we wanted them to give a testimony of the things that God has done in their lives, something fresh. And they're going to be speaking today freely. They're going to let the Lord use them. They're going to be confident. So let's have Brother Johnny and Sister Typhona pass to the front. Amen. And let them leave with us what the Lord has placed in their hearts. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's just awesome to be in the presence of God. And I thank God for tonight. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for Pastor Gray and Pastor Pam in their absence, Pastor McGill, Pastor Terry, and everybody else in their respectable places. And I just want to say on August 14, 2014, my husband had a procedure that he needed to get done. And we had to go to Winter Park to go to this procedure at the hospital. And when we was in there, and took him a long time, and then the doctor came out and he said, Ms. Hall, I said, yes, sir. He said, we can't operate on him. We can't put the stents in. And at that time, they wanted to put 8 stents in. He said, that we cannot do. But if y'all remember, in August, Pastor put us on a 30-day negativity fast. God is so awesome. Because when that doctor told me what he had to do to my husband, I spoke faith. I spoke positive. I said, because if it hadn't have been for Jesus, he wouldn't be standing here today. He had 5 bypasses. That means 5 arteries was clogged. They was trying to figure out how was he doing what he was doing. And even when they asked me, did he have a sign? Did he get shortness of breath? I say, my husband has a commercial grill. A big cooking grill, because he loves to cook. I said, and he'll be outside jacking it up, putting it down, put the towel. I said, so I don't know what you're talking about, but my husband is well. But I just thank God, because even at that, the doctors were still amazed. But I'm going to give it to my husband.
Amen. You know, when I was just laying on the table, and my doctor came and told me, he said, well, Mr. Hall, we put 8 stents and you wouldn't do no good, like she said. He said, the best thing I could offer you is an open heart surgery. So, you know, I'm waking up, I'm saying, what are you saying? I just came down here to get some dye shot in me and see if I got anything blocked up in me. But when he told me that I had open heart surgery, I'm going to tell you something. And anybody can say what they want to say. Fear came in there. Fear began to sit around me. So my wife called Pastor, and he came out to the hospital, and he started talking and telling me things. You know, and the same thing I was talking to this guy Wednesday, something about faith. And I was telling him how much we had to believe in God, regardless of what come our way. The next day, I find myself in the same situation that I was talking to this guy. That's what I had to believe in. Amen. And Pastor came out, and he started talking. He said, Brother Hall, he said, people is going to be amazed. He said, God said, people going to be amazed how quickly you get healed. Amen. Doctors and all of them. You know, I said, okay, Pastor. I said, okay, you know, I wasn't listening. Fear still was setting up in me. I still was scared. And I was laying on the table, and they began to cut my hair off my chest and stuff, and my little gown just was just shaking. My wife asked me, said, you scared? I want to say, you darn tootin' I'm scared. They finna pop up on my chest. They finna split it wide open. But you know something? As I begin to think about who I was, as I begin to think about how God had brought me out so many situations, I said, this got to stop right now.
Amen.
I spoke to fear, and I told him he had to leave him. Amen. Right now, because I serve a good God.
Yeah.
And what Pastor say, sometimes when you get in a situation, you need to start preaching to yourself.
Amen.
I laid on that table, them people thought I was crazy, because I started preaching to myself. I started telling myself what kind of man I was, what kind of father I got living inside of me. I have no reason to be afraid.
Amen.
And you know, the last thing I remember, I was rolling down there and I was raising my hand up, thanking him.
Yeah.
For what he was going to do. You know, and my healing came in when Pastor told me how quickly God said I was going to get healed. I was healed right then.
Amen.
Before they even cut on me, God already had brought me a word telling me how quickly I was going to be healed. They did my operation that Friday. That Saturday, when I woke up, I asked the lady, I said, it was kind of late. So I said, I'm hungry because I ain't ate in about 2 days. I said, she said, what you want to eat? I said, can I have some mashed potatoes and some gravy and some meatloaf and a Diet Sprite? She said, you won't see none of that. You know, she bought me some fruit and some cornflakes. But what I'm saying is, like Pastor said, all them doctors, all them people who operate on me, they was amazed to see me set up in the bed Saturday. They were amazed to see me walk up and down that hallway. All of them came out there to see me. I raised my hand up to God because I know my healing was already there.
Amen.
Not because of the doctor, but because of what God said that I was healed.
Amen.
And I thank him.
Thank
and I
Lord.
Praise him. And I praise him so much over him. Maybe the people over here might get tired of me crying out to him. I don't know. But, you know, I thank him so much, not for my healing. I thank him because he loved me so much.
Yeah.
That's why I thank him, because he loved me.
Yeah.
And I thank this time for this operation.
And thank God. We just praise God because that is powerful behind the prayers. And we appreciate everyone that cooked, brought us meals, took us to dinner. It was just awesome to have y'all prayers comfort us, because at that point in that time in my life, that's the first time I really went through something with my husband that God had blessed me with. And I told God, I said, you didn't give me this to take it away in 3 years. I said, you gave me this so we can do the work and build the kingdom of God. So, and I just praise God for being who he is and what he is in our lives. And if you're getting ready to face a situation, hold fast. Put your faith and your trust in God.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody come and tell you nothing different. And doctors can say what they want to say and what they believe that's going on in your life, but you hold on to what God say, because at the end of the day, he has the last say so. And just believe in what God has for you is for you. And I just praise God right now. And right now we're going to call up Brother John. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. God is awesome in this place.
Okay, I suddenly got nervous while I was waiting. So, my testimony started at camp on a Tuesday night when I completely surrendered my life to God and said, you know what, God, I'm giving everything to you. I wasn't giving 110%. I was just giving 90%, sometimes 80%. And that day at camp, I had genuinely what I felt surrendered completely to God and said, you know what? Everything, my entire life is going to be, it's going to revolve around you, and I'm going to do everything to build a better relationship with you. And so we had an amazing time at camp. I came back, and on Sunday, we shared our experience up here, and I was so shocked that I actually got up and did it. And came up and shared what I had experienced, and then the enemy came and attacked me not even a week after this experience that I had at camp. And I basically didn't even know that I was bleeding internally. I had a bunch of ulcers. The doctor couldn't count. When I would ask him how many I had, he said, there's too many to count. I keep losing track. And so he found a bunch of them that were bleeding. And basically, for those of you guys who are in the medical field, my hemoglobin was at a 5.1. And didn't even know. I mean, I thought I was fine until like the Saturday before I ended up having to go to the hospital. But I was hospitalized for about 4 days, 5 days, something like that. And while I was in there, the enemy started just attacking me. Like, I started, you know, beating myself up because, you know, I started feeling, well, you know, why is this happening? And, you know, God, I surrendered everything to you. You know, I said you were going to be 100% in my life. And now all of a sudden, all this is happening to me. And I tried my best to read my Bible and pray and listen to worship music while I was at the hospital. And it just started going downhill. The enemy was just like constantly with anything. It started off with the whole physical stuff, and then it started to get to my spiritual life and started affecting my attitude. And I just began to just not care anymore. I was just done. When my friends would ask me what's wrong, I would just be like, I don't know. I'm just done. I don't care anymore about anything. And this all kept going on for about 2 months. The doctors tried to figure out what was causing all the ulcers, and they started testing for diseases, Crohn's disease, one of them. They started checking for cancer, colon cancer, and started testing all this stuff. Well, like I said, it kept going on for months, and every time I'd go to the doctor, I'd had to go like once, twice a week sometimes, and every single time that I went, I kept getting bad news. Every single time. It was always, oh, now you have this. Now your kidneys are starting to fail. Their numbers are going crazy. And I remember about a week ago, it was on a Sunday, we were at youth, and I was noticing when I left here, I had dropped Corey off at his house and after youth, and I got in my car and I started basically crying because I was just done. Like, I literally didn't know what else to do. I was just like, God, why? I just kept questioning him why this was happening, and I finally just started, like, I just stopped and was like, don't question it, you know, just leave it alone and just start praying that, you know, God was going to take care of everything. And I remember a couple weeks before that, Lindsay had told me that maybe I haven't overcome that part yet because I keep saying, you know, I have this, I have that, and I have, you know, all this other stuff. And instead of just saying, you know, God's going to take care of it, you know, stop bringing all this negative thoughts into my mind and stuff like that. Well, I remembered that Sunday night I got home and I got on my knees and I said, you know what, God? I have to go to the doctor on Monday. And he told me pretty much 90% sure that I had some type of a disease or a cancer. And he knew what it was, but he said that he had to make sure 100% with the test. And I basically got on my knees and said, if I have it, God, I'm going to praise you. And if I don't have it, I'm going to praise you even more. And I remember that I prayed and cried for over an hour, and I didn't really think about anything else after that. And the entire time on Monday, while I was waiting to go to my appointment, and of course it was the latest appointment they had, so I had to wait all day. And so I get there, and the doctor walked in the room, and I guess he hadn't reviewed my results or anything. He walks in, he looks at the results, and he kind of just stared, and I sat there, and I even got, like, I just got even more scared, because I'm like, why are you just standing there? Why aren't you talking? And he said, I'll be right back. And so he walks out and I guess calls the lab downstairs at the hospital there at Waterman and had them rerun the test, the blood work again, and comes back in and says, okay, well, I had him run the blood work again, and you don't have anything. All the tests came back negative. And he said, I'm a little confused, he said, because the tests that you have done, the stuff that I saw indicated that you had Crohn's disease and you had this type of cancer and all of this other stuff. And I literally just sat there and kind of just stared at him because I was shocked. I was expecting bad news, and God had other plans. And so, you know, I was just kind of speechless. But this happened all on the Monday. And then this weekend, we just left. We went to the ramp. We took some of the youth to the ramp, and all week I felt that God had done a miracle in me, because the doctor was very, very adamant and very sure that this was just, that I had something. And I was still kind of shocked. And I remember on Tuesday, I was talking to Allie about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to post this on Facebook just to kind of get it out, because there were so many people that kept asking me about it and about my results. So I just posted on Facebook and didn't realize the impact that people were going to, you know, that the Lord was going to, you know, that was going to minister to a bunch of people. And so I started getting a bunch of text messages of people, you know, thanking God for me and all this stuff, and thanking the Lord for what he had done. And so anyways, on this weekend, I went to the ramp, and the Lord showed me what it really means to be completely surrendered to him. You know, Pastor Wheaton kept talking about you had to get down deep down there to get rid of everything so that God could completely, so you could be completely surrendered. And I just remember my entire body began to tremble every time she'd bring this stuff up. And I was like, okay, we got it. You know, she mentioned it like 5 or 6 times. I was like, okay, we got it. You know, proceed, let's go forward. And I guess, you know, God had different plans. So that kept ministering to me the entire time. And I was just like, okay. So finally, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you've said you're tired of all this, but yet this is your opportunity. I'm here waiting for you, and you're not coming. And the moment that I felt that, I ran up to the front, and I literally have never felt so free. Like, I literally surrendered everything, and I truly believe, and I've kind of told a bunch of people by now that I feel so at peace right now. You know, everything is completely gone, and I'm just thankful to God for doing this. And the only thing I can say is, if, you know, if anybody here is going through anything similar to what I'm going through, just trust him. It's hard. I'll be the first to say it is so hard to keep faith and keep believing that it's going to happen, a miracle is going to happen, but just believe in him, and he'll work it all out. All right. So, and now we have Brother Austin. He's going to come up and give his testimony.
How's everybody doing? I don't know who all knows me or whatever. I'm the guy up here playing violin. My name is Austin, and I've been going here for about the past 4 months, and I absolutely love it here. Everybody's so loving and welcoming. When Pastor Gary, youth pastor, he asked me to share my testimony about the weekend at the ramp, I was really unsure what I was going to talk about, because I really couldn't put in words what happened and what I experienced prior to this weekend. Man, just the past 5-6 months, God has just been showing me so much and just wrecking my world, but in a good way, and just surrendering more and more to him, and he's been sanctifying me, and it's just been an amazing thing, and I'm just so thankful for that. And I really wasn't sure what the ramp was about going into it. Everybody said that it was awesome, and everybody was excited for it, but I was like, okay, yeah. So I didn't know what to expect, but I knew that God was going to do something, and I just prayed, Lord, just open me up and take myself out of it, and just work in me, and let me be all yours this weekend. And so we get there, and the first night, as we're walking up to the building, I just get goosebumps, and I can already feel just the presence of the Lord just on the building. And wow, that night was amazing. I'd never experienced being in his presence so deep in his presence and so close to God ever before in my life. Everybody in the whole room, I've never been around so many people that were just giving everything to God and just not caring about who's around them or what they look like, but just praising God for who he is and surrendering everything. And so man, the way that you can hear clearly from God when you're in his presence is just unbelievable. And that night, you know, his love was just all over me, and his love was so thick. And but at the same time, my heart was torn a little bit too, because I felt like the Lord was telling me, you know, this is who I am, and I've shown you this. But what about those people out there that don't know you, that don't know me, that don't know my love? And I just started crying. Like people don't know his love. People don't know him, how much he loves us. And I just feel like, I felt like the Lord was just telling me, that is what I want you to do. And I don't know, you know, it's been over the past 6 months, you know, I feel like he's been telling me, prepare, get ready, learn. And it was just so much of a confirmation for me this weekend. It was, you know, I can't really explain it, but I'm just thankful for it. And I encourage you guys, you know, sometimes we get caught up in keeping God to ourselves and keeping his love to ourselves. And it's not for us, it's for everybody else. It's for others, it's for us to share. And I just encourage you guys, you know, pray for those people. Pray to have a heart for those people. Pray to have a love for those people that are lost. And God is going to do amazing things in their life. I can't even begin to explain the things that he's doing in the people's lives around me and in my family and in my close friends. It's just, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing him work through me, and it's just blowing my mind. So that's pretty much all I have to say, but praise God. This is Pastor Miguel.
Good job, Austin. Thank you, Brother Austin, Brother Johnny, Sister Typhona, and my brother over there, Coronado. Good job. And I'm going to say a brief testimony as well. You know, it's been, I think, about 2 years ago now, or maybe 2.5 years ago, my father-in-law, he got sick. His kidneys started failing him. And it all started because my kids got sick. And when they got sick, they got like the flu. And what happened was, my wife stayed home with them for a week, and I wanted to stay the following week, but my job did not want me to, you know, let stay home with the kids. Anyway, I got really upset with that because I had a supervisor that was not considerate at all in that time. And I said, listen, my wife's still home for a whole week. If she stays another week, she could lose her job. So can you please allow me to stay a few days? And she was like, no, you're not going to stay. We need you here. We're shorting drivers. And I could have challenged that, but I decided not to. Just, I wanted to keep the peace. And what ended up happening, we took the kids to my in-laws, and we just told them to try not to kiss them too much or anything like that, because since they are a little bit, you know, senior citizens, no offense, you know, their immune system is differently. You understand? Different at a certain age and to deal with this. And they're always going to the hospital, to the doctors for regular visits, so you want to make sure they don't get sick. So anyway, what I fear the most happened. They both got sick, and they were sick for over a week. And my mother-in-law started recuperating, but my father-in-law didn't, and he started getting these black lines underneath his eyes. And he's sometimes very stubborn. He doesn't want to listen to advice. And my wife kind of pressured him to go check himself out. And when he went to check himself out, they found out that his kidneys started failing. Okay? And it came to the point that both kidneys were just, they were no good. And they had him with a whole bunch of different cables. You know how it is when you go to the hospital. It was just a fearful thing to see him in this condition. And I remember when we got the news that we're going to start giving him dialysis. that was something that you really don't want to hear, because I've been around people that take dialysis, and sometimes they're most of their day in this office sitting down getting dialysis, and it's something that drains them physically. And sometimes they have to go 3 or 4 times a week. And I remember we were in our living room, and my wife and I, we were crying. We were just crying like little kids. And my daughter Sienna was sleeping next to us. And the funny thing is, around that time, Sienna, you guys know Sienna. She's my 7-year-old. She's a little firecracker. And back in those days, she would get a lot of supernatural visitation, not in a good way. Like, she would sense if there was something in the room, like, she would sense it. And we used to have upstairs, everywhere we went, we always had someone that did worship, worship literally Satan. You know, these people were in the occult. And sometimes you feel the oppression from upstairs. You'll feel it downstairs. We constantly had to be praying in our house. So that day, when we started crying, that something like that happens to Sienna at the moment. She started, like, she woke up and she looked terrified. And instantly when that happened, I don't know why it happened that way. I have no theological word to explain why it happened that way. But when she experienced that fear, the Lord spoke to us clearly. And he said, "Why do you cry like those who do not have any hope? Why do we as believers cry like those who do not have any hope?" And when I heard God speak to me like that, I just got up right away, went to the bathroom, washed my face, and I said, "Betsy, the Lord said, why do we cry like those who do not have any hope? Let's get up, wash your face." She got up, she washed her face, and we start rebuking the devil. "Satan, we come against you in Jesus' name. This is not going to happen. He is not going to die. He's going to live, and in Jesus' name we declare victory. He's going to be delivered from this. His kidneys are going to function. He's not going to get no dialysis." And Jesus, and we just went off. And next thing you know, we are so fired up in the Lord, we're encouraged. And then my wife, we go to the hospital. When we go to the hospital, my father-in-law, he's trying to take off, you know, the little tubes that they're putting on him. And my wife tries to stop him, and she says, "Wait, what are you doing?" He says to her, "Don't you see them? They're talking about me. They're trying to kill me. Don't you see them? They're right there." He was seeing he was really seeing the spirit world. He was seeing the spirit world. Whatever drug they gave him, he was seeing the spirit world. And he's looking at Bexy, and he's saying, "But honey, don't you see? They're trying to kill me. Don't you hear them? Look at them." And she said when he was speaking to her, like, she saw in his eyes that he was convinced that the doctors were out there trying to kill him. And he's a strong man, so he was trying to, and they had to actually put him some gloves and things to protect him from hurting himself. Well, can you believe the very next day, his kidneys started functioning, both of them. So they said, let's put him in dialysis, you know. Let's just put him in dialysis to see how that's going to be. And they actually told us this is going to be something that he's going to be with. Well, once they started giving him dialysis, they get the news that he doesn't need dialysis because both kidneys started functioning normally. Then they said, we're going to put him in a nursing home, you know, just for he could start recuperating. Well, they sent him straight home because they said he don't need no nursing home. He's good. You see, sometimes, and the most amazing thing about this was that when my wife started speaking to him, she presented the gospel to him. And he finally gave his life to the Lord wholeheartedly. Finally. It was not because they told me to. It was not because it's the right thing to do. He finally understood, you know, I know there is a God. I know I have to surrender my will and myself to him. And he did. And you know, it's amazing the things God does when we really take wholehearted what he speaks in his word. You know, we need to believe what he says. If we don't believe, nothing's going to ever happen. You know, we need to take authority. We need to believe that when we speak, things happen. You see, when God speaks, creation takes place. Period. When he speaks, it's going to happen. So he tells you, "I want you to walk." It's because he already gave you the victory. Now, when you don't believe that, you say, yeah, I know you're going to give me the victory, Lord. Yes, I know you're going to give me that job I'm waiting for, Lord. I'm going to sit right here until it comes, Lord, because I believe that you can do all things. I believe that goal is going to come right here. So I'm just going to put my hand right here, Lord, and that goal is going to fall in my hand. It doesn't work like that. So the reality is when God speaks, we begin to prepare our surroundings. We begin to prepare the land. Correct? Because you're saying, I know it's going to rain. I know it's going to come, Lord. So what I'm going to do in the meantime, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to prepare my atmosphere. I'm going to prepare my surroundings. I'm going to prepare my home. Lord, you want me to clean house? I'm going to clean house because I know what's coming is great. So you know I don't want mixture in whatever you're going to give me with things that I need to get rid of. I'm going to start cleaning house right now. So my point is, this walk in what we know, it comes from, for example, Lord, I'm trusting you that you're going to do all the things you have promised to do in my life. You say I'm going to be a minister, that I'm going to be a mighty man of God. I'm going to do what this gentleman just said. God told me to prepare, prepare, prepare. That's not just going to happen by itself. Lord, where do you want me to start? Genesis? You want me to start in Acts? I mean, where do you want me to start? All right, I'm not hearing anything from you, Lord. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to open the Bible. I'm going to start reading it. Next thing you know, he starts opening your mind. I want you to go here. I want to show you something here. And you start to prepare yourself. Next thing you know, he's putting people around. You see, some people want God to start working while they're not doing anything. God opens doors as you walk. You start walking, he opens doors. You start doing the things he tells you to do, he starts opening doors. I remember my brother the other day, he says to the Lord, Lord, I want you to help me sell my business. And what I'm going to do is, you know, if it gets sold, I'm gonna go to Bible college. That's what he says to the Lord. I'm going to go to Bible college. So I'm going to wait till the business gets sold. And next thing you know, he changes his mind about the business. I'm going to keep it. And then my older brother, things just started collapsing for him. Then my brother Robinson says to him, Thomas, you told the Lord that you wanted to go to Bible college, but that you were going to wait till you sell your business. Why don't you do things differently? Why don't you go to Bible college and let the Lord deal with the business? Well, he started going to Bible college, and quickly he got somebody to get the business. You see? And then he bought another business. You understand? And now it's just an amazing thing. In other words, when you start doing what God has called you to do, he will open the doors. Just trust him and walk. Whether you see, whether you don't see, whether you understand, whether you don't understand, just walk. Walk. What does the Bible says about faith? Faith without works is what? Dead. So we work. We walk, we walk, we walk, and he opens doors. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to keep you too long because God already has spoken to these people, and we're so grateful. And prepare yourself because we will knock on your door one day and say, you're next. Okay? So make sure you start practicing from now. Let us rise. And let us finish with this verse, the verse we started with, Psalms 107, 1 and 2. And meditate on this for this week. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you are good. Thank you because your mercies are new every morning. Lord, and out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth, Lord. And today we gave you thanks for the things that you have done, and we will give you thanks for the things that you will continue to do. Lord, you never leave us, you never forsake us, you are always with us. And you, my Lord Jesus, you're the one that we could trust, you're the one that we could just rely on, and my Lord, because everything you say will come to pass, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We could trust in everything you say, Lord. I bless my brothers and sisters in your name. I thank you for them, and I pray that the words that were spoken tonight may remain in their hearts, my Lord, that they may meditate in it, Lord, and that they may expect for you to do something great in their lives daily. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord. Amen, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.